This is Sid Roth saying, I have a vision. Now is the set time to blow the trumpet in Zion.
Blow a trumpet in Zion, sound it on the mountain. Blow a trumpet in Zion, for the day of the Lord is come.
Shalom, Mishpacha. Shalom, family. Mishpacha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpacha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people that are one new man in Messiah Yeshua, Messiah Jesus. Getting ready, Mishpacha, to blow the grandest shofar, or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. I have a concern, might even call it a burden. That is, I meet many people that said they had faith in healing, but one of their best friends, who had all the faith in the world, died of cancer or heart attack or some other disease. And if they couldn't stand, how could I possibly stand? Because they were a great man and a great woman of God. And so this sounds logical, but it's bad thinking. And then there are others that are moved by someone being healed, and their faith is because they saw someone else healed, and they've never developed their own faith. They're very anemic in faith. Or the people that have stumbled because of other people's bad experiences. Now, we're coming down to the wire. We're coming down to the point in which we're going to have the greatest harvest the world has ever seen. The devil's going to act up more than ever before because we're getting ready. What does the ancient rabbis say? We're in the footsteps of the return of the Messiah. And I agree with the rabbis. We are in the footsteps of the return of the Messiah. Now, I have a friend of mine who has been on Messianic Vision before, John Carver. And John has perhaps the best, the most extensive archives of men and women that have had miracle ministries. And he received a prophetic word from God that many of these men and women went to their grave and their understanding of healing is not with this generation. And God wants this generation, if ever there's ever been a generation, to understand the miraculous and the healing of God. I mean, we are after the one new man. And that means that Jewish people have to be grafted back into their own olive tree very rapidly. And the Bible says the Jew requires a sign. And that's why, John, I'm so excited about what you told me on the telephone. And I asked you, and this was a spur of the moment thing. We just got a hold, and it's just in print now, a book that was out of print by Dr. Charles Price. The title is The Meaning of Faith, and I read the manuscript, and when it was originally published in 1936, it sold for 50 cents. But there's a generation, John, that have never heard of Dr. Charles Price. Tell me a bit about Dr. Price, but I have to start you out this way. Of all the people you've studied, and you have studied the great men and women of faith more than anyone I know, the ones with the great miracle ministries, and I said to you, of all the ones you've studied, who was your champion? And what did you say?
Dr. Charles S. Price.
And I was actually a little surprised over that. Tell me a bit about Dr. Price.
The reason that I said that is because I have studied, I can't tell you, scores of ministers who were used in the miraculous signs, wonders, and miracles. And as I studied these ministers who were men who were kind of brought together by the Voice of Healing ministry, Gordon Lindsay, and that was a group of people. At first, it was like 54 of them, and then it mushroomed into many more. And there was a magazine that they put out called The Voice of Healing, and it documented the miracle ministries of people like William Branham, Jacko, A.A. Allen, and Clifton Erickson, and others. There's over 50 of them. And as I studied these people and did interviews with these folks, one name kept coming up constantly, Dr. Charles S. Price, constantly. My friend, Dr. Cornwall, sat under his ministry in Bible school in Southern California, and he mentored many, many, many people through his literature and through personal contact with them. In the meetings, he would take time with people. And I wanted to see where the roots of these people that God was using in the 40s and 50s, where did they get their inspiration from? And so as I tracked all this back, said, I found out that it was Dr. Price. And then when I began to research his life and look for his literature, you couldn't find it. And so I literally, for 25 years, had been seeking to find his magazine that he put out, the Golden Grain magazine that T.O. Osborne carried to India with him when he first went. That was his inspiration. And I had the privilege of doing the interview with Dr. Osborne and him telling me these wonderful stories, how these messages by Dr. Price inspired his faith in the face of all the pressure that he was under in India. And so the stories are countless that I have heard many, many, many times over.
What type of results did Dr. Price have when he ministered before large numbers of people?
He was the kind of a person that would wait in his prayer. He built his own tabernacles. There was nothing big enough to hold his crowds. Like Billy Sunday, he built his own tabernacles. And what would take place is that he would have a little room, and he would make sure there was a little knot hole there where he could look out. And while he knelt and prayed at his little altar, and he would look out there and see as the crowds would come and as the people would gather around the altars to pray. And when he stepped out into a congregation, the Shekinah glory of God, when I say the Shekinah glory, God's presence would just impregnate that building. And
all right, we know in this generation Benny Hinn. We also know, many of us that are old enough, Catherine Coleman.
Mm-hmm.
How would you compare his ministry to the ones that we've seen with our eyes in this generation?
With Benny Hinn and Catherine Coleman, just those two. We'll look at those two. I've talked to people who...
Earl Roberts. Let me put all three there.
Earl Roberts.
Okay.
What's lacking in those meetings, and I say there is a lack, there's a deficiency, like a vitamin deficiency, in faith and in the presence. And when I say the presence of the Lord, I mean the convicting power of God. I have talked to scores of people, and I always ask them, what is the difference between a Dr. Price meeting and, say, some of our contemporary people of the day, or even of the 40s and 50s with A.A. Allen, who had tremendous altar calls. Thousands would run to the altar calls under his ministry.
I've studied and looked at videos of ones that you've supplied out at Oral Roberts University of some of these people, and I'm astounded by the miracles I see. But how did he compare with all of them?
Over and above.
Really?
Over and above. There was the presence of God. Dr. C.M. Ward was a close friend of mine.
You're saying the glory would just descend?
That's right. There was a convicting power that was in those meetings that were not in... I'm not saying that there was a convicting power in Benny Hinn's meetings or Catherine Coleman's or Oral Roberts, but the difference between the two time periods, the 40s and 50s, then the 20s and 30s with Dr. Price, was there was an overwhelming conviction. They didn't hardly even give altar calls. The people came running. People were miraculously, phenomenally healed with miracles.
What were you going to say about Dr. Ward?
Dr. C.M. Ward was a friend of Dr. Price. Matter of fact, one of the last meetings that Dr. Price had was at Dr. Ward's church in Bakersfield, California. And so I had the privilege of knowing Dr. Ward, and I'm always asking questions and doing interviews. I'm always pumping people for information. And so Dr. Ward told me about how Dr. Price would conduct himself. And I asked him, because there's no voice recording. There are voice recordings. I have never found one, though. I have looked from here to England and have never found a voice recording. And I know they're out there. I just got to find one. Dr. Ward would tell me his mannerisms and how he conducted himself. He was a low voice speaker in a sense that a calm person. He wasn't a firebrand like A.A. Allen or right. some other person. But when he walked out onto the platform, there was a presence that was, I don't know how to even put in the proper setting, but it was almost, you knew something's happened in the atmosphere. And when he would lead his own song services at times, and he had plenty of talent with him that were able to do some of the singing. He had a conscious pianist who could very well take care of these things, but he loved leading his own song services, and he would take them from one plateau to another plateau to another plateau. And like I said, I've interviewed so many, I couldn't give you a number, but in the 50s at least, maybe even 100 people who have been in these meetings, and the music that Dr. Price would lead, it would take him into right to the throne of grace.
What type of miracles would he see?
They were creative miracles. You know, some people say the divine healing isn't anything to do with God replacing organs and things like that. The very first miracle healing that took place in Dr. Price's, him praying, was a young couple who back in the 20s, when you had she was a woman who had female problems, and they gave her a total hysterectomy. And, of course, back in those days, you can't imagine what that was like. And so the couple came to Dr. Price, and they asked for prayer. And so Dr. Price started praying. And he says, oh, no, we don't want you just to pray for God's blessings on us. We want a baby. We want to have our own children. And this is what's happened to us. And so Dr. Price prayed. And this is in one of the Golden Grain magazines. And he prayed, and the woman received a miracle. 1 year later, she had a baby.
What about things like cancers and heart attacks and paralyzed people?
There's a story that I read. Dr. Price prayed for a woman who had breast cancer in its latest stage, where the cancer was literally out of the skin. The tumor had burst it.
That's
and disgusting. He had prayed for her, and she fell on the floor, and when she came up, the body was totally sealed up and the cancer was gone.
And one of the things you told me that you really respected about his ministry was his integrity and his scholarship. What did you mean by scholarship?
He was schooled in England. He went to King Edward's College in Sheffield, England. And his mother saw that he was chosen of God. And when he was 3 years old, she had died, but she had put him on her lap and said, this child is of God, and that we should try to give him every benefit of his education. So they had made tremendous sacrifices to see him get this education.
I've been at that school. We're out of time. We'll pick up right here on tomorrow's broadcast. Miss Bucha, I'm going to tell you something. Some of you are so anemic in faith or have lost your faith, I want you to start from the beginning. I want you to get this book that was previously out of print. It's now in print, called The Meaning of Faith by Dr. Charles Price. We're asking $15 postage paid, and start at the beginning. He talks about the collapse of faith, the meaning of faith, how faith works, what is faith, how to get faith, how faith grows, faith in divine healing, faith for healing. $15 postage paid.
If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, cassette catalog, or information about becoming Mishpocha, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. Or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape of this week's broadcast, send $5 to Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. Look us up on the web, www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.